Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 692, the Outpost Discovery Report, recorded live on July 11th, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we have gone through our first weekend of Halo Outpost, and there's lots to talk about. That we finally have it out in the wild.
There's lots for Dust to talk about.
Yes, this is
true. I didn't go.
This is true. Well, hopefully I can articulate it enough to somewhat live vicariously through my experience. Maybe we'll just stream it. Can take you along in a Skype window, Skype call or something.
I'm going to be taped to Dust chest for the next one.
Just get a whole GoPro thing going and just like broadcast it over to you.
Yeah, there you go.
I wonder if that actually would be possible.
Well, yeah, provided you could keep an internet connection. I'm sure that would be a difficult thing in that particular setup.
Probably. Could always give it a shot.
I mean, before and after, that would be one thing. But during, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I do plan on Philly actually using my GoPro. I didn't have a chance to really do much this time around because I was planning panels last minute, mostly the game show one, which it's funny. My least prepared panel was the one that got the most praise and positive responses on.
Yeah, so, well, actually, from everybody I heard talk about them, everybody had good things to say about all the panels.
Yeah, people came up to me after the panel like multiple times, not just on Saturday but Sunday as well, saying how much they really enjoyed the panel.
Yeah,
I didn't see anything on Twitter as far as people saying how good the panel was, but people were saying that, or that I were talking to, that people really enjoyed it and loved it. So I'm guessing I found something to latch on to, and it was so successful that now they want to do it every day at Outpost, and not just one day.
Nice.
So instead of six panels at Philly, I'll have eight.
Yay.
At least the only thing I have to do with that now is come up with puzzles and finish the buttons. But the format of the slides is now complete, and I don't have to worry about that piece anymore.
Well, that's good.
Progress.
Yeah, you're just going to have to come up with new questions.
Well, some of them I'll probably just reuse because we honestly didn't get through many of them. It was
I understand.
Rough. We're kind of going in this podcast out of order. It's just kind of one of those nights. But to start with the very beginning of the panel, the one previously before that ran over. So they had a social stream every day. So similar to how to do on Mixer every Wednesday, they had a social stream every day at Outpost. And this first one, of course, was Uni, Bravo, Sketch, Green Skull, Major Nelson, a few other prominent people within the Xbox and Halo streaming realm. And that went over by about 20 minutes. So that cut into the game show panel, because that was supposed to be done at 4:45, and my panel was supposed to start at 5. And I kind of needed that 15, 20 minutes to set up. So my panel didn't really start until 5:20. And there was a hard stop at 6. Unfortunately, we didn't get to have the full duration of the panel, which kind of sucked. But heck, even the fact that we only had 40 minutes and people still loved it was kind of really, really cool.
Well, now that it's been such a big hit, maybe they will move you up the priority ladder.
I have a feeling there will be a little bit of a bump in status as far as the game show panel goes. So we managed to get through, I think, 5 or 6 clues of password. And that was funny because I prefaced all the games with These are all Halo puzzles and terms you're going to be dealing with. So you would think that they would use Halo clues to kind of give clues to what the passwords were.
Yeah,
and,
no.
And they were all over the place, and people were cracking up. The crowd was, I mean, they had their and ah.
That's the best part of password, because you always think you know what they're going to use to. That'll be just a dead giveaway for what it is, and they never use it.
Exactly. And then, and the normal password, it was 10 clues. We had to cut it down to 8 just because of how bad the clues were. And for the first one, we even had the audience give the last 2 clues, and they still didn't get it. So that was funny. And at one point, I asked the audience, because we turned 2 of the game station monitors around so the audience could see the words, but the people on the stage couldn't see them. And at one point, I asked the audience, are these hard? And they're like, almost a unanimous no. And I'm like, okay, I'm not stupid or anything. So the words are good. There was one that Sketch made me throw away because he thought it was going to be too hard.
Which one was that?
I'd have to pull it up. I don't remember which one it. I remember which number in order it was, but it was very entertaining to say the least, which I think is one of the reasons why it was so successful.
Yeah.
Envoy. No, was it Envoy? No, Pillar was the one that got skipped because it was going to be for Pillar of Autumn. And we ended up skipping that one. I was writing cue cards like the minutes leading up to the panel for Sketch. And God bless Sketch, Bravo, and Grim, because they went into this completely blind. But they were troopers, and they added just a lot of... And like Grim and Bravo, they're a dynamic duo as far as kind of having that kind of comedic conversation and being able to keep the flow going. So they were troopers. Sketch was a trooper, and it can only get better from here. Like, technically, the panel was a mess. It was a big mess, but everyone loved it and enjoyed it. So, I mean, if I did that well with how messy it was, I can only imagine how much better all the other locations are going to be.
Well, hopefully for the next one, they give you more time to be able to get set up and actually run the full course.
Yes. So Minolta, who has been on the podcast before, he's actually one of the stage or like stream managers for the content stage. So on Friday, actually before even VIPs were allowed, and they had to pull me in so we can get the main stage set up and taped out for what we'd be doing for the game show panel. So I technically got a sneak peek at all of the outpost stuff, but I didn't really get to walk around or anything. But we figured out, okay, we need these monitors turned around. This is going to be the seating arrangement and all that stuff. But we took some notes and lessons learned, and my wife and I are going to Philly together. So we're going to go up early on Thursday. I'm going to be there, take all of my gear. And then on Thursday, we're going to get all the stage layout. We'll do a rehearsal to see how the game show is going to go. So it should be, for anyone going to Philly and is going to be attending the game show, it's going to be really well refined compared to what it was in Orlando.
Well, you know, Orlando, you know, it was the first time for the entire show. There's bound to be glitches. And from what I understand, there was plenty of glitches.
Yes. It was a test run for everything. Not you just know, my panel.
Oh, yeah. I've heard the stories about attractions having trouble, which, you know, I get it. When you're on that first show, your fingers are crossed that you've got everything planned right. And it doesn't matter who it is. When you're doing a brand new show, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to happen a little bit more than normal. But, yeah. All in all, everybody that has talked about the shows or talked about Outpost Discovery as a whole enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They had some constructive criticism, you know, things that need to be worked on. The app wasn't working to its potential.
That is correct.
But honestly, how well did they really think it was going to work? Because you're in a convention type scenario. Wireless is the worst thing. Mm-hmm. I know that a sizable chunk of what the app offers is actually installed on the phone, like the virtual reality stuff and stuff like that. That's actually installed on the phone. So it doesn't actually have to pull that data down, but it's still, I've heard that it had some real issues, but all in all, it sounds like everybody had a blast.
For the most part. Yeah. And kind of to expand on what you were saying, GT, a lot of the major complaints were the lines and the signings.
Yeah. What did they expect? That one's all on the organizers. There is what, you know, what did they expect was going to happen? You have the two main stars of the entire series doing a signing. Everybody is going to be in line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Orlando is definitely a beta run of Outpost.
But, you know, I don't know how you can control something like that. Have the line open for 10 minutes and then they just sign autographs for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, it was bad. It was pretty bad. And it would have been better if there were other people signing at the same time, to maybe kind of split the lines or something. But they were the only ones signing, really.
Well, they were probably the ones anyone wanted to have sign.
I mean, sure, they had Bonnie signing a little bit as well, but it didn't.
Well, those two are going to be the main draw.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who
Chief
you
and Cortana.
Those two are going to be the main draw. They're going to have the longest lines every time.
Yeah, when they made the announcement, that's what everyone was interested in, were those two people. So
did you get to partake of the VIP lounge?
I did jump in there, but only for a brief moment. I didn't actually stay in there and participate in the game stations that they had set up there. They did have some snacks and drinks. You could get some free stuff. Like, you can get a stein with your drink and stuff as well. But for the most part, I was mostly working on PowerPoint slides for my panels. So I didn't really get to experience Outpost until Sunday. With the few exceptions of on Friday night, I got to do the ring experience with some of the 343 folks and the content creators. And then on Saturday night, I got to do laser tag with 343 folks and Chief and Cortana. So I got to play with Steve Downs and Jen Taylor for the laser tag. There was also Frankie, Kiki, Bravo, Uni, KP, Jessa Birdie, and James Monosmith and a few others.
Wow, had quite the crowd.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. We lost our first game by 1 point, and it was Team Slayer. And then we had Team Snipers on our second game, and we got demolished. But it was a lot of fun.
Team Snipers, huh?
Yeah, so the weapons that they have for the laser tag system actually look pretty similar to BR's.
Uh-huh.
And I think someone had like designed the weapon, and then I guess in coordination with 343, they were able to kind of license it to have a gun model around it, and they built, I guess, the guns kind of specifically for this. So that was really cool. And they have a iPad which they control the game with, and it keeps score and stats and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the laser tag arena, you have two respawn points in the corner. And you basically have to hold your gun up, and it cycles through every 3 seconds for you to respawn. And normal weapons is like an AR. You have a 32-round clip, and it's 14 rounds to kill. And you have a sensor on the front of the gun and on a headband.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Team Snipers, it's two shots, two rounds in a clip, and it's two rounds to kill. Or is it? Yeah. So it's a little bit different. But they also have a CTF mode, which we didn't get to try. And I think there's another mode that they mentioned as well. So the laser tag for me was probably the coolest part of my Outpost experience for Orlando. I did get to try the VR on Sunday. That was pretty cool, although it's not quite as intuitive, or it doesn't quite have the same feel of playing Halo. It's a really cool experience of being in VR and playing it.
Yeah.
But for me, I had a lot more fun with the laser tag. There is an announcer kind of giving you the real-time status, but like a normal Halo, there's not a HUD that gives you a kill feed or gives you what the score is or anything, which I thought was like kind of lacking, because you're used to having a HUD in Halo. You think you would have a HUD, and especially in VR, but that was missing. And then I got to try.
Did it have like a targeting reticle or?
No.
No?
No targeting reticle, no.
Oh.
Well, because you can turn the plasma pistol around anyway, so the targeting reticle wouldn't really help necessarily. But it was on the platform that's in Valhalla, so take the hill up top, and it's a 30 by 30 square arena that you're fighting on. And it's a 3-minute round, and the walls are basically like paintball walls, and they change every minute. So you go through three different configurations, and it's Team Slayer, and obviously whoever has the most kills at the end wins. And then I got to try the Pelican experience, which there are three different stages in the Pelican experience, and you have to do certain things. Like there's a station for every person, and you have to flip switches, push buttons, turn dials, and all that kind of stuff based on what's happening in the Pelican simulator at the time. And we crashed, or my group crashed. And there was one person in particular who just did not get it. So I will be trying that again and hopefully getting a group where we can win. If you go and watch Green Skull's vlog, though, he said that they had a con. They so 343 invited content creators out, and they got to do everything the Thursday before Outpost even opened. And they said that their first time they failed as well.
Yeah.
Their second time they did a lot better once they kind of figured out the whole station thing. I won't try to give too much away. But it was a cool and fun experience. The instructions were very lengthy and chatty. And it kind of makes sense for trying to have an attraction that's not necessarily for big Halo fans, but it's kind of one of those things of, oh, there's this scenario, and they're like explaining in detail what the scenario is, where if it was something that actually happened, you're not really explaining it. That's just a stupid minor thing. Then the ring experience was really cool. You got to go through the different aspects of why the ring was built, what's on the ring. And then there's the fly through the ring with the honeybee, which that was really cool. There's some lore bits in there that we haven't really seen anywhere else with regards to a Halo installation.
So do you just sit in a chair, or is it kind of an active type deal?
Yeah, you don't sit, you stand. It's a minute and a half, two minute experience. There's handrails because obviously, with the dome thing flying, you get a little tipsy. But there are handrails for you to hold on to.
So it's not 4D or whatever you want to
call it. No, okay. It's not. I mean, you have the headphone. There's like headphones on that you're wearing, that in each room you tune to a different channel. So there's three rooms leading up to the dome experience that goes through what the, so the first room is what like the Halo is. Second room talks about kind of the monitors and how the installation is maintained. Third room has a flood forum, which you may have seen my face on Twitter or social media, thanks to Green Skull, on a certain GIF that has...
No! Was that you?
Indeed, that was. And that has a life-size flood forum, which I didn't really appreciate how big they were.
Mm-hmm.
I could appreciate how big the other... Like all the Covenant species in Halo were, so
the infection forms, to be clear, is the one he's talking about.
The popcorn flood. It's big.
Yeah, I knew they were pretty sizable.
I didn't think they were that big. I thought they'd come up to my knee. I didn't think they would come up to my waist. Yeah. That was fun.
Well, you know, to think that the chief palms them, you know. When he pulls the one off the prophet.
Yeah. I have to go back and watch that. Like with.
But yeah, I understand what you mean. I've just seen pictures of it and yeah, it's huge. I didn't realize that an engineer from literally the bottom of its tentacles to the top of its head is as tall as an elite or pretty damn close to it. An engineer. I saw a picture of that size wall where they had the different sizes and they had the elite and the engineer side by side and they were almost the same height.
Oh yeah. You're
the
right.
The elite was just a little bit taller.
That's right. It's
Virgil doesn't look that big.
No, he doesn't. It's so interesting. Like getting all the perspective in real life compared to what it is in the game. And I guess in a sense, it's not necessarily a direct correlation as far as things match up, because the scaling in the games don't always match up exactly.
No.
So there's some creative liberties there. But as far as the canon dimensions of all of these figures and characters and all that stuff, it's really interesting to see how different it feels from playing in game, especially as Master Chief. To seeing it how it actually would be in real life.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. I did not get a chance to do the Covenant Escape Room, although I heard that if you're any kind of a Halo geek, it's pretty easy to get through. And was that the only thing I didn't try? Oh, I didn't do the Target Arena, but it's pretty much like a shootout thing that you would see at a carnival. There's a screen and there's targets that come up and you have the little Boomco blasters. There's a SMG and a Magnum Boomco blaster and you have to shoot targets and try to score as many points as you can. So I'll try to probably do that in Philly. But my revisits are definitely going to be the laser tag, the Pelican thing experience. I'm going to probably try the VR again just to get the points for the app thing and the escape room. I'll probably do the ring experience just for the sake of getting some footage or whatnot. But I think the best replayability one and the one that's the most fun for me was the laser tag. That was really cool. That was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And then for panels, I had 4 panels at Outpost. One of them was the game show panel, which we talked about already. Just to kind of follow up on that, we did 2 games. We did Password. We had 1 round of Password, and then we had 1 round of Wheel of Fortune. So the Wheel of Fortune was pretty cool. Minolta at one point was shifting back and forth between the board and the stage, and he was actually clever enough to, when people were spinning the wheel, because I actually bought a prize wheel to mark up all the point values on. So he would, once the wheel was spinning, he would take the camera and zoom in on the wheel as it spun. So that was really cool.
Nice.
It was a nice touch.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of cool things planned for doing the game show panel at Philly and the rest of them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. The first panel, other than that, that I did was on Friday at 8. What was it? No, 7. 6?
5? 4?
No, it was 6. It was 6:30. Sorry, I had to think. Game show was at 5. community panel was at 6:30. So it was the community panel, and Claude Herrera, or Louis Wu from HBO, was on, and Green Skull were on. Unfortunately, for all of the panels, they weren't well advertised. So the only signage of a panel room was right outside the panel room, and unfortunately, the panel room was on a completely different floor than the expo hall, and there were no printed schedules. There was no nothing unless you actually went into the app or pulled up the tweet with the schedule or the website, and you saw what panel was there.
Well, that sucks.
It was pretty bad. They ended up starting to announce panels over the convention PA on Saturday, but it still didn't help a lot. There were panels for the vendors that made some of the Halo experiences that had fewer attendees than my panels did.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be some updates to that, like maybe a panel list in the app.
So there is an event list in the app, but one of the things that they said they're going to work on, they probably will do this, is actually having the printed schedules of panels and maybe a TV or something that will do the live updates, and then clear signage on where the panels are.
That would help, yes.
That's if they don't put all the panels on the content stage. And that's another option that they're looking at. Because there's a lot of filler. And no offense to Mixer streamers and partners, they're obviously a core component of content creation for Halo. But there was a lot of filler in with those Mixer players on the content stage. It's obviously a Mixer content stage. It's probably like a partnership thing where, hey, it's going to be the Mixer stage. It's going to be the future stage. We want Mixer streamers on there. Makes sense. But when it was just the Mixer stuff, the seats on the content stage was empty. Like, I don't think there was anyone sitting in those seats on Friday until the social stream that had Major Nelson, Green Skull, and all those guys on it. That's one of the ideas that they've received feedback on, they're looking at, is having all the panels on the content stage, or at least the majority of them. And then I also suggested maybe partitioning off a piece of the marketplace for a panel, because there's not a lot going on in the marketplace, and that way it's inside the experience. And if you're waiting in line, you can kind of see what's going on. Maybe when you're done the experience, you can go over there and you're not having to walk in and out of security just to get into the event. So that's another possibility as well. Yes,
one of the other complaints that I heard is that you'd had to do some of these other things. You had to walk in and out of the exhibit, and then you'd have to pass through security when you went to come back in.
Yep.
Which means, you know, body cavity search, and they look through your backpack. And
I had to take my backpack through security so many times. It was nuts.
Yeah.
Yes, Laird, it was a ghost town for Friday, it felt like. But I was also hiding behind main stage for half of the day working on game show puzzles. Which turned out it was a fruitful endeavor. There's a lot of feedback that they took in, not just from me, but a whole bunch of other people. And I think I talked John's friend's ear out for an hour on suggestions. And we were kind of talking about the experience and how people were receiving it, all the feedback that they got. So there's a lot of things that they've taken back and a lot of things that they're looking to change for Philly, just from the lines, the signings, the panels, the content stage stuff, how to better address the app issues. So there's a whole laundry list of things that he was writing down and trying to capture. It only get better from, well, it really can't get much worse than what was Orlando. So I'm going to say it can only really get better from here.
But we don't want it to.
It can. It's not very likely going to happen. Because they want to make sure this is a success. And with the few people that I was talking to, their proving points, I think, are going to be Philly and Chicago, because that's where a lot of the content creators are. And I think a lot more of what I'll quote unquote call the hardcore Halo fans are going to be going to. And by the time they get to Houston and Anaheim, there's not going to be much that they can change to affect those outposts or really make any changes than what they could have done with Philly and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I feel Philly's going to be the big changes that they learned from Orlando, and then Chicago's probably going to be a little bit more of a refinement on what they did. And then Houston and Anaheim will probably not be much different than what Chicago will be. That's my anticipation.
Well, you'll get to experience them all, so you can report back on what the big changes are.
Yes.
In each one.
Yes. Hopefully in 2 weeks, you'll hear me have a good report on how Philly goes. No, I did not just jinx it, Laird. Stop that. Let's see. Anything else on Outpost? Oh, yeah. So we did the community panel on Friday. It went really well. I think we had about, in total of people rotating in through the panel, maybe 30, 40 people there. We actually ran long because we were the last panel of the day. And people just had a lot of questions after we went through our stuff. So we talked about the foundations of the Halo community, how it started really with Claude's community of blam.bungie.org, which eventually turned into halo.bungie.org, and how the community kind of evolved from there, the different pockets that that Halo as a franchise really supports. So you have people interested in campaign, multiplayer, forging, creating artwork, creating music, creating their own story, digging into the plethora of different corners of the Halo franchise that you can. And then we talked about their specific communities. So there's being Claude's being HBO, and Green Skull's being what was Ready Up Live and now is Ready Up. And then there were a lot of questions about what it takes to really get a community started and going. What are some tips that we could give as kind of being these heads and founders of community? What advice we would give in order to like run a community, keep one going, and all that kind of stuff. So it was an hour long panel that turned into an hour and a half long panel just because of the questions. We actually ran through our slide content on time. The questions just kept coming, so we kept answering. And then Friday night, some of us that were at the panel, both viewing and on the panel, we went out to Dave and Buster's. And Claude and I basically kind of tag teamed it for Friday and Saturday. So we took an Uber from the hotel out to Dave and Buster's. Out to Dave and Buster's. And then we came back at 1:30, so we were all asleep by 2, I think. And then I was the first panel Saturday morning, and it was the Forge panel. And I had Duquesne 23, Forge Labs, Yeti for Hire, Darth Quackers, and Nitro on the panel. That's a myriad of different forgers. And we talked about different design concepts for Forge, kind of at its core. Covered the history of Forge, so starting with how game types really enabled that customization of experience and multiplayer, and then all the Forge stuff that got added on after that. And they did some demonstrations and discussions around aesthetics, making maps visibly appealing and playable, and using the different visual themes and tool sets within Forge to create an environment and a feeling for your map. And there was also a demo using prefabs, and they kind of had a general theme of why Halo 5 Forge is the best Forge that there has been, and all the powerful tools that there are with it, and all that fun stuff. And we got to do some live demos as well. DJ got his personal Xbox set up, so we got to have an Xbox and do some live demos, and we'll be doing a live demo for the next one as well, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then the last panel was the community projects. So we had representation from Project Contingency, so R93 Sniper was on the panel. Kegels, which I don't think he's been on the show, but he's one of the cosplayer, and actually is building a suit of armor from the armor that they have in Project Contingency. So using it in a 3D or a, it's called Neos, but it's a virtual environment where you can go and model stuff and manipulate stuff and do some pretty interesting things. And we also had Jabobs on from Coral, Downfall, and Autumn. And he had one of his concept artists there as well. So we got to talk about the origins of Halo modding, how it kind of started with a lot of the modding tools for Halo CE on PC, and then there's Halo Custom Edition, kind of how the projects unfold from there. And then we got to talk about each one of their projects specifically, what the purpose of the project is, what their goals are, and all that kind of stuff. So cool. that was all the panels. Yeah. It's a lot of cool stuff. And Philly is going to add two more panels to that list. There's going to be a Machinima panel, which is going to be... I don't know if a lot of people would know these names off the bat. I certainly didn't. But for Philly, it's going to be Mark Anthony and the Great Isaiah. Some people of our show probably know the Great Isaiah name. I don't know about Mark Anthony necessarily. And then there's going to be a podcast panel. And this is going to be, I think it's all the podcasts except for HCS Pro Talk. So that's going to be, that's right. So that's going to be myself, the Junior Ace from Drunken Halo. There's going to be Shadow Silver and King Richard from the Halo Conversationalist. There'll be Tetra from the podcast Evolved. David Futch from Forward Unto Dawn, and Daddy Trax from Gaming Under Fire, which was formerly Bad at Halo Show. So, 8 panels at Philly.
Yay!
So that was kind of in a nutshell my Outpost experience. It'll be a lot better in Philly, where I'll actually get to experience Outpost in its entirety, and not just being sitting behind a curtain for a third of the... or two-thirds of the weekend.
Well, yeah, that definitely makes it a lot more enjoyable when you can actually participate.
Yes. I've learned a lot, and I will be a lot more prepared. Similarly, how 343 and Hershen learned a lot about the Outpost experience in Orlando, and there'll be a lot of changes, and they'll be more prepared.
Yeah. All in all, it's a lot of fun. It's a learning experience. That's for sure.
It certainly is. It certainly is. So we're going to move on to a couple of Waypoint posts that have been done since our last recording. I guess we'll mention this too, since we talked about this last week, but the SPV 3.2 is now officially out. So we had Masters on last week, and we got to talk a little bit about what was being introduced into this update. So it is now out for everyone. So if you go over to their subreddit, reddit.com/r/HaloSPV3. You can find the download for it and go and try it out. I want to give another thanks to Masters for being on and giving us an early look at what they've been working on. So we've got the last community update, which was last Thursday. There's a few things on here that are kind of repetitive to things that we've already talked about. There's a lot of things regarding Outpost that was in this article. And there's a couple other things that I think we mentioned as well, so we're just going to jump over those. The new things that I think that were covered is MCC updates. So they've made some matchmaking updates with regards to playlists and the social stuff. They have some score limit changes. So for Halo CE 2v2 and 4v4, the time limit has been reduced from 15 minutes to 12 minutes for Slayer, Oddball, CTF, and King of the Hill. For Halo CE 4v4, the score limit has been reduced from 5 minutes to 3 minutes in King of the Hill. Halo 4 4v4 and 8-player FFA, Ninja Assassin's score limit has been reduced in Action Sack. Halo 3 8-player FFA Race reduced lap count from 10 to 5, and they removed Saturn, which is a Foundry map, and they added a 12-minute time limit. And then for Halo 3, 8-player FFA, Beehive and Lava Pit have been moved from the 12-player FFA action sack to the 8-player action sack with adjusted round time limits.
I guess they were considered too small for big team?
Probably. I mean, I haven't played it, so I don't necessarily know.
I haven't played them either, so.
Your guess is as good as mine. And there was some feedback regarding Halo 2 Anniversary Infection. So they overhauled that, and I think we covered that last week, so we'll jump through that one. The July calendar for matchmaking, I think we've already gone over that, but just to recap, Husky Raid, which is actually came out 2 weeks ago, has another week to it, so people can play Husky Raid for one more week.
Woohoo!
And you get in there and play.
Yeah.
Up for this week, though, we have Castle Wars. And wait, I thought they said Covenant Slayer would come back. Is it Castle Wars? Or did they change
that? No, Covenant Slayer is in.
Okay, so they changed that up a little bit. Covenant Slayer is in instead of Castle Wars this week. Castle Wars will return when Husky Raid goes away, I guess, next week. And Warzone Assault is here for double XP. So if you're trying to grind to 152 and you got some XP boosts, Warzone Assault is the time to use it.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks we'll get Mythic Shoddy Snipers, probably rotating in for Covenant Slayer instead of Castle Wars. And we've got Warzone Turbo.
Best favorite game.
Yay. I did actually play a couple of games of Warzone Assault tonight.
Party, 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 party.
They need Warzone Turbo and a Grunt Birthday Party Skull. Just turn it on for everything. For the Halo Championship Series Grassroots Tournaments, we've got quite a list of those coming up. We've got four listed in this update. First one being the Red Bull Rise Till Dawn Tournament. This is taking place in Chicago in the Willis Tower. It's a Halo 3 2v2. It will start at sundown and end at sunrise on the 99th floor of the Willis Tower. This is taking place on July 13th. It will be streamed over at twitch.tv/Red Bull.
Woohoo! Red Bull gives you wings.
Indeed it does.
Or sneezes. Oh.
Yes. Which was just edited out. Beachland number 8 is taking place August 10th through the 17th. This will be happening in Tampa, Florida. Details can be found at beach-land.com. Next up is the FACEIT Ignite Halo European Open. This is also taking place starting August 17th, going through the 18th. This is being hosted over in Europe. It's the first Open in Europe that has official Halo grassroots status that wasn't like official HCS stuff before. This is going to be a Halo 3 4v4 for $25,000, and it will have a Halo 5 2v2 side tournament for $5,000. More info at halo.gg/ignite2019. The last one we have is the Halo Classic. This is hosted by UGC. It's a Halo 3 4v4 taking place in Atlantic City with a prize pool of $50,000. It'll be taking place between September 6th and 8th. Tickets and team inspector passes are available on UGC's website, UGCHalo.com. HCS Grassroots Content Creator applications are now open for the month of July, so if you're interested in joining the Grassroots program, head over to halo.gg/grassroots. There's some gear that we're giving away as well from E3. I think we talked about that a little bit last week. Prizes are being drawn tomorrow, though, if you're listening to the live show. If not, then it's already over. But they're giving away some of the stuff that was at E3. So there's the Halo Infinite poster, the Halo Reach mouse pad, the Halo Master Chief Collection PC poster, the Noble Team pin, and the Master Chief themed ship in Sea of Thieves. There's also Spartan Fest MX 2019, which is taking place in Mexico City. It's taking place this weekend, actually, July 13th, at the Centro Cultural y Deportivo Sindicato SCT.
I'm glad he said that, not me.
On Naranjales Coapa Street. There you go. I might not be able to understand Spanish, but I can certainly speak it, being from Texas. That's the one thing I have going for me. I can kind of fake it.
I don't know that I would qualify that as speaking it, but okay. I would say not butchering.
Yes, that might be a more accurate representation. So sure.
I know what Bohias is.
I don't know what that is.
Spark plug.
Oh.
At least whenever they want spark plugs, that's what they ask for. Bohia. I'm like, okay.
Relevant in your line of work, sure.
Bohia, okay, here you go.
There you go, yeah. There's also a little community spotlight in this update for Single Halo Clips. They've just reached their 10-year milestone. I honestly haven't heard of them before, but apparently it's a YouTube account that's been going on for a while, and you can find them over at youtube.com/singlehaloclips.
Huh, might have to check them out.
I think I will have to as well. And then finally, there is a new piece of HD artwork. This harkens back all the way to Halo 2. This is Master Chief hijacking a ghost and kicking a brute out of it. And in the meantime, a brute is completely just demolishing a warthog with marines in the background. I don't think I've actually ever seen this piece of artwork before. Does it ring a bell to you at all?
I don't know. Let me look. Hopefully my video stream doesn't crash.
Interesting little detail on the front of the brute as well. Almost looks like little jets or something. It seems like it harkens back to the E3 demo gameplay near the very end. So it's a cool piece of artwork. Add it to the pile of cool stuff.
More cool stuff.
Yay. Yes, indeed. We've got an MCC playlist update from Postums Wednesday, which was yesterday. He says it's hammer and sword time, which brings new additions for Griff Brawl, updated weighting on select game modes and categories, and removal of Stone Town from Halo 2 Anniversary's 4v4 Slayer category. In Halo 2 Anniversary Griffball, they've added Field Griffball on Lyrene Castilla Field, which is created by Run Not Yard Run. There's a new preset. They've added Griffball. They've added the Griffball game preset containing Halo 2 Anniversary, Halo 3, and Halo 4 into social matchmaking. Griffball has retuned weight. Oh, sorry. For the Griffball playlist, they retuned weight of Griffball across all titles to increase the appearance when searching in it, in addition to other categories. So if you have multiple things selected, it'll pop up more frequently. And then for Halo 2 Anniversary Slayer, like we said before, they removed Stone Town as being retired from the 4v4 category. Looking ahead, they're going to be looking to tweak some stuff with the map composer as far as Halo 3 Arena is concerned. They want to kind of relook at that, since it's been one of the playlists that hasn't been looked at in a while. So looking at Halo 3 Team Slayer offering a BR Slayer across Halo 3 4v4 maps. And Halo 3 Team Slayer is going to be the successor to Team Arena on the competitive playlist side. Nice short, sweet little MCC update from Postums. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Postums. And now on to the community spotlight, which was technically out before we started, but only about 30 minutes or so. So we're going to be speeding through this one a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. First piece of artwork we have is harkening back to the green and blue piece of music from the Halo 4 soundtrack, which is really cool. I like the homage and the connection there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the key art of the article, and I think it's very fitting. There's a Danish National Symphony Orchestra playing the Halo theme live, which is always cool to hear the Halo trilogy played by a live orchestra. I would like to go to an orchestra just playing nothing but Halo music.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I did attend the Video Games Live when I went to E3 probably 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was Video Games Live 3 or 4 in LA. And it was a really cool experience. They went through a whole bunch of different games. I think they had Zelda, Halo, Mario,
mm-hmm.
Metroid, Final Fantasy.
It truly is amazing, some of the music that's written for games. And just the way it doesn't always follow the popular trend, but it always seems to be popular. You know, it's not pop, it's not new age, it's not heavy metal, it's not country. It's, you know, a lot of it could be classified more as a classical type music, but not really. It's kind of its own genre.
Yeah. But
everybody's always happy to listen to it.
I mean, when I need something on the background, I'm always listening to soundtracks. Mm-hmm. And half of my, if not more than half, of my Pandora station for soundtracks is all video game related stuff. I've got some other ones in there like Doctor Who, Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
Matrix, that kind of stuff. But to kind of go back to your point, I almost wonder if that reason behind having diversity in video game music being so prevalent and that there's so much of it at any one given time being in kind of their own separate genres is that there is such a wide plethora and complexities of video games out there that people kind of go back and forth to. And there's a lot of iconic themes between popular games. So it would make sense that maybe you have a game that has a little more pop behind it or a little more country or a little more symphonic, but it all kind of works in and around each other because it's all video games that people love
mm-hmm.
in some collective form.
Yeah. It's just really weird that, you know, people can do that. They can listen to just soundtracks of video games and be completely entertained, but people will tend to get bored of listening to any one genre for an extended period of time, you know, not without having to kind of change it up. Me, I really don't listen to music anymore because I get tired of the commercials.
Ads.
Song, commercial, song, commercial, song, commercial, half song, commercial. Sometimes it seems to get out of whack. You get one song and then 5 minutes of commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And every single radio station plays their commercials at the same time. It's like it's a conspiracy.
It almost sounds like it. Oh, let's play all our commercials at the same time. That way they'll just channel surf in frustration.
Mm-hmm.
More road rage. Yay. Yeah, that's an interesting observation. I've never really thought about that before. But you can, if you think of video game music as a larger genre, hop around to different soundtracks. It's almost like if you put video game soundtrack music, and I guess film soundtracks can kind of fit into this as well, but you put that into a higher level genre, and then there's subgenres beneath that. And because there's so many different emotions and feelings that you get from different types of soundtracks, maybe that's why it's so enjoyable to keep listening. That's just a wild stipulation.
Yeah.
Naruto's laughing at something.
He must have looked in the mirror.
They did spell Michael Salvatore's last name wrong.
Shh. You weren't supposed to notice.
Someone else recently spelled his last name wrong too. I forget who it was or what it was in context to, but some other media outlet or something misspelled Salvatore's name.
Well, I mean, it's not one of those that kind of rolls out of the brain spelt right.
True. But you'd think
symphony. You would verify that you have the correct spelling before you publish it. Yes, I understand.
So just an observation that was made. And we've got more renders. This one was really cool. This Elite render.
Yeah, I like it. I almost like it better without the holographic effects.
I kind of agree.
because, you know, they have a video of it, and in the video of it, they show the same models with and without the holographic effects, which, don't get me wrong, the holographic effects are kind of neat, but they, you know, some of them tend to, they just obscure the work that's done underneath them. They don't add to it. And honestly, and this is from a Canon perspective, it doesn't fit with the Elites or the Covenant.
No, it's a little more of a Forerunner-esque.
Right. It does add more of a Forerunner vibe to the armor. But I will tell, I will say that they did an awesome job on this.
They really did.
I mean, they're more of a, you know, a classic Elite. They're not the big bulky ones like in Halo Reach or Halo 4. They're the more trimmed down slim ones like in Halos 1, 2, and 3.
And the nice thing too is this person also in the video broke out the armor and the undersuit and kind of deconstructed all the pieces that made it together. And Sam said that she got over 63 mentions of people saying to put it in the spotlight.
Yeah, I saw it earlier this week on Twitter, or I believe.
Yeah. I saw it last week when Pixel Flare retweeted it on his Twitter account.
Yeah. Like I said, I saw it earlier this week is when I came across it, and I was totally amazed at it.
It's incredible. It's incredible what people come up with. And there's lots more doodles and artwork, lots more renders, lots more pictures with mega constructs, line drawings, pen drawings, pencil drawings, retro style stuff. Someone did a Minecraft set of weapons, a rocket launcher, AR, shotgun, and Magnum, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, the AR and Magnum actually look pretty realistic. The shotgun, not so much.
Yeah, the shotgun is a mix of a... I don't even know.
it looks like something that was made out of blocks.
The rocket launcher is pretty cool. Same with the rocket launcher, too. Rocket launcher is a little more recognizable than the shotgun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the AR...
is a good job.
AR and pistol is definitely good. And then... I don't know if it's... No, a different person, but also in Minecraft, someone made the UNSC Grafton.
Griffin, I think it is.
It says Grafton.
Grafton? Oh.
Yep. Even says it on the side of the ship, which is the same, and I don't know my ship classes, I probably should, but it looks like it's the same class as the Ford Underdawn.
Yeah.
I do like the phone backgrounds that Jeff at Medza did. He's the composer behind the music for SPV3. He took some spare time to step away from the music and make his own little backgrounds. So I think that's kind of the highlight for me from the art corner, or the doodle corner. There's a half-baked section in here, which is more arts and drawings. The first one kind of being the never-ending flight requests from people. This one is, let's see, out on the seas, and it has a drawing of a person saying, "Where's my email? Where is it?" And then the warthog with catnip with the detonator, so obviously being tip of the spear. There's a beta testing sign in the background, and then an envelope that should probably be an email. So that one was pretty cool. Pencil drawing of the legendary difficulty icon. Someone did a painting of the silent cartographer on Halo CE.
Yeah, the opening. Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah. I would hang that. That one looks really cool. Someone did the iPad drawing of some Halo 3 stuff. Or Halo 3 inspired Master Chief. One with the bubble shield, one with Cortana leaving the chip, and then some different poses of Master Chief. And then someone made some chalk art. I can't remember when the last time was that we saw some chalk art for Halo.
Yeah. Did the scene where you see the Ford Underdawn approaching the Halo.
That's really well done. painting of Noble Team. Someone made the Halo logo out of an LED strip. Some cosplay stuff. And then someone 3D printed the Iron Skull. This one is at J. Carter Ha 2. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, and it's hand-sized. It's a pretty good-sized one.
It's a make one for all the skulls and have a nice little collection.
Somebody actually made a Halo ring, as in ring for finger.
Well, so I'm wondering if that's the same ring that's been out there before, because it looks like the same design.
Well, it says, this one like it's Halo ring.
Because you can actually buy this ring. I don't think this is a... I mean, it is a custom made, but I think it's a custom made by someone that you can actually like buy it from.
I don't know. I can't say that I've ever seen one.
Because we were contemplating on getting this ring for me, but I decided to not do it. My wife was on board with the idea, but still decided against it. So, but yeah, I think that's actually something that you could buy. If I find it, I'll
Yeah,
here it is.
Lots of images of it.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
Well, this is an iteration of it, but it's very similar. Actually, I didn't know that they made it like this. I might ask my wife if I could get something like this. We shall see. But yeah, TitaniumK.com has rings that are just like this. Not to devalue the ring. It's still a really cool ring.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of tattoos.
Maybe I ought to get one, and then that'll give me an excuse to wear a wedding band again.
Do you not wear it now, or?
Well, back when I was working on cars daily, I would leave my ring in it, you know, in its box. Well, now my ring finger's a little too big to go in the ring, so.
Ah.
Gotcha. I don't wear it.
Gotcha.
I mean, I can get it on and off okay. It's just, it's really uncomfortable to have it on my finger. It squeezes just a little too much.
Gotcha. Thankfully, I haven't run into that issue yet, but I kind of have the opposite problem where my ring's a little bit too big. So I fidget
with it a lot. Don't worry, you'll grow into it.
Okay. Fair enough. Someone did some really cool nails inspired by Halo Infinite.
As in fingernails.
Yes. Someone's working on a Prophet cosplay.
I want to know how they're going to do the chair.
That's a good question. I did not even think about that, but that's a good question.
Somebody posted their past for Orlando Outpost.
Outpost, yep. A lot of cosplay from Halo Outpost as well. And Hazel is actually a very good friend of mine, or at least the person behind the mask of Hazel.
Yeah, the one in Hazel costumes look really good.
They're really well done. I mean, they're professionally made. They're not. There's some really great 405ers out there.
Don't get me wrong. Even the amateur stuff has gotten really good.
Yes.
And the neat thing is that they all work together so everybody gets the best product that they can come up with. And that's really cool.
And some of the 405th folks or people that have been part of the 405th are actually part of these companies now that make these costumes professionally. Either for events like this or for big production films. So everyone, like, yeah, there's 405th. People from 405th talent kind of probably inspiring these. And there's people within the 405th that really know their stuff. Like, just look at some of these other pictures. And I guess here's the main thing. The armor, you probably couldn't really tell the difference between a good 405th build and a professional build. The thing that really tells you whether or not it's a 405th build versus a professional build is the undersuit. That's the key distinct difference between a amateur armor build from a fan and a professionally designed suit. It's the undersuit.
Just the material that it's made out of, or
both?
The detail of it.
Both. you can, because the undersuit in Halo is very distinct, and for cosplay, there's not a lot of benefit to like spending all that extra money to really make a real life or a good representation undersuit of it. So you have things like you have the full body suit that's like a slim suit, and you can sew in Velcro and that kind of stuff to it. So it makes it easier to put on and off the armor pieces, which is what a lot of people are really looking at. But if you look at the picture with Hazel and Owen in it, and actually the two people in between them are actually part of the 405th, and they were part of the cosplay contest there. But if you look at some of the other pictures down there, you can see that the undersuits are just a full body suit, and there's other foam pieces attached in areas that makes it look, it kind of makes the fake look that there is a black undersuit, but you can tell it's foam or something like that, where the suits that Hazel and Owen are wearing is actually a rubber suit. It's a lot more expensive. And then Kegels, or Megavolt Service, he was actually on the project panel, but he decided to do a Brohammer outfit. He wasn't the only one either. But taking some inspiration from the Halo Infinite trailer that we got this year.
Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty cool.
Let's see. We got the video corner of things. So there's a Halo Reach trick and glitch from the Termacious Trick group back at it again. A mini Spartan on tip of the spear. Pretty appropriate, given that tip of the spear is the flight build for Reach on MCC right now. There's a Halo hologram, Halo War 2 inspired animated wallpaper video, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but given some of the hologram stuff that we've seen in the Halo 2 menu, I imagine it's pretty cool. There's some montages, there's a live action short, there's stop motion animation as well, and then we get to the tweets. A few little cool tidbits in here, some renders, which is cool, the little artwork of Master Chief. Has a nice touch to it, having the kind of purple, pink, and yellow accent background to it. And this one actually made the rounds quite a bit. Quitom is a Twitter user, and he has a print of an Elite only with a helmet and basically boxer briefs on. So it's meant to be like a very sexy Elite type of thing.
Yeah, it's very disturbing is what it is.
People got a kick out of it at Outpost, and people were signing it. And if everyone saw the image of Grimm holding it at an angle, and that's become a meme of people just replacing that picture with whatever they want to put on there. It's almost like a white template, and people have been going to town with that. But the actual picture itself, while it is a tad bit disturbing, it is very impressive.
Yeah, I won't argue that.
It got passed around a lot on Saturday. And then the last snicker doodle is a little artwork piece of Link and Zelda kind of playing Halo characters, with Zelda being Cortana and Link being Master Chief holding a Jackal energy shield and a sword. This was done by Ermin Scientunist with the title of Don't Make a Princess a Promise if you know you can't keep it.
That's cute.
It is. It's got the Halo 2 high charity vibe to it as well. So yeah, that's our highlights of the latest community update. And that's going to wrap it up for our show. Unless you got anything else that we haven't really covered.
No, I do not.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I've been kind of absent from the Halo scene for the last week. I've been working on repairing my computer, and it's not going so well. I did get all the parts.
That's good.
I got all the software. Well, most of the software installed, and now it likes to randomly blue screen itself. So, yay, Windows!
Yay, computer problems! We're being sarcastic, obviously. Yeah, so still no Frag and Friday streams. There is still Frag and Friday.
Actually, we will be able to stream it.
Oh.
We will be, it'll will be different than normal, but it should be available on Mixer, YouTube, and Twitch this week. We're going to try something different and see how well it works. So we'll go from there. If it works, great. If not, we'll have to back off and go back to just Mixer. So this will be the experimental week. So hopefully everything works well.
Yes. We will hope and pray for that. I think for me, I'm going to possibly stream on Sunday. I got to check with Laird to see if he's available and kind of see where I'm at with panels and whatnot. My goal is to be streaming Sunday night and do some more Halo Wars Definitive Edition stuff. If Laird's still in the chat, he'll probably hear that. And there was something else I was going to say, but now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Next week, we will be having our Hunters in the Dark book podcast. So make sure you catch up. I am about 3 hours away from finishing, so I will be finishing it this weekend. And this will be our third book to talk about this year. So I'm making progress. Yay.
Yeah, we're with it the last 10 years. Oh,
haha.
Sorry, 5 years.
I'll take 5 years. So you can make sure you tune in for next week and we'll be having that discussion. We'll see if we can get some other Halo lore folks on the podcast as well. That podcast will most likely be taking place again on Wednesday because obviously Thursday I will be going to Philly. But Wednesday, Tuesday, we'll figure it out. GT and I will get that planned out and we will let you know on social media the specific day on when that's going to happen. And Frag and Friday will be happening tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to try to hop on in the tail end of that. Get some either Husky Raid or Warzone Assault or Lobby's Choice, whatever we end up doing.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to pull the Warzone Turbo thing or off the next time.
That's totally fine.
There were some loud objections the last time.
Yes, there were.
Assault we might be able to get away with, but Turbo, I don't know.
Well, so Assault is double XP, usually goes pretty quick.
Yeah. I actually ought to spend some time in it this weekend, but I probably won't because I will probably be working on other things.
Computer and car and yeah, all that fun stuff.
Actually, I'm running out of parts for my truck, so I might not work on it much.
Okay. Can you get the other parts that you need?
As soon as I figure out what they are, I will.
Oh, it's still at that stage. Got it. All right.
I'm having a little bit of a conundrum with my truck, and I would discuss it, but it goes into automotive engine theory, and I don't think that's appropriate for this podcast.
Okay.
Not fair enough. Pokemon is, but you know.
Ah! Pokemon has a certain legacy to it with this show, and fortunately or unfortunately, however you view it.
Well, I think most of our audience knows more about Pokemon than they do auto repair.
Most likely, yeah.
It's a little bit more popular subject for our group.
I believe that is accurate, yes. So you can check us out on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I did not do a very good job at posting anything about Outpost this past weekend because of reasons that we talked about earlier, but hopefully that will change for Philly and Chicago. I'll be posting a lot more since I won't be cramming for panels this time around. You can also find us on our streaming platforms. We're on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube, where we stream the podcast every Thursday night, normally at 9 p.m. Eastern time, Frag and Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and my achievement streams at 10 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. A little bit of a Spartan Company update. We have two getting close still. We've got from downtown, killing an enemy Spartan from long distance. We have about 270 of those to go. And then the next closest one is First Strike with another 900-ish to go on that one. And the last two are still the last two. And those won't change. You can join our smart company by heading over to podtagler.com/company and just request to enlist, and one of the lieutenants will get you accepted and in there. You can also get the latest and last Halo loot crate of the third year of Halo over at podtagler.com/loot crate. And they did extend the last crate by a month. So on July 15th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, that'll be midnight Eastern time, is the last time that you can get this crate. I think all of the discount codes that we had before are done. There is a buy a year plan, get a crate free deal on Loot Crate right now, but if you don't go with that, you can use the code PodTagler at checkout to get $3 off of your crate and finish out the last year of the Halo Legendary Loot Crate. I don't know if... Actually, it says they're sold out, so I take that back. Maybe you won't be able to get it. So, unless someone else can confirm that, it also says sold out for them. And, Eric, I don't have one of those either yet. So, lootcrate.com/podtackler. See if there are any left and go get your last loot crate that you need. If you're going to be attending one of the additional outposts or the remaining outposts for this summer, I do have a little trinket that you can earn. If you come up to me at any one of the outposts and say, "Keep on fragging trucks," I will have a little gift to give you. For those on the podcast...
Surprise!
Yeah, it's a surprise. Once we start giving them out at Philly, I will post what the surprise is.
Because somebody's going to post it anyway, so...
Right. I'll just be the first one to post it on Friday. It's like, come find me and grab a pen. If you're going to one of the outposts, come up to me and say, "Keep on fragging trucks," and I will give you a little bit of bling to go with your attire, so to speak. That's going to do it for the podcast tonight. Thanks, everyone, for listening in, whether it's via live stream or download. We appreciate all the support that you give us. We will catch you guys next week for Hunters in the Dark. Until then, keep on fragging the outpost.